to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexander Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and this is a pre-recorded interview for December 13th, 2016. And today I have with me none other than the world-renowned Mary Rodwell. I mean, how many people do not know Mary? It would be a shock. Please welcome her. She is a renowned researcher, one of Australia's leading investigators in UFO and contact phenomenon, an international lecturer and a producer of two, not one, but two EBE award-winning documentaries way ahead of their time. One's entitled Expressions of ET Contact, A Visual Blueprint. This is back in 2000. And a second one, Expressions of ET Contact, A Communication and Healing Blueprint. And that's 2004. So check those out if you aren't familiar with them. She's made appearances in the Australian documentary Oz Files, the BBC television program The Paranormal Files, and Discovery Channel's Animal X, which I want to hear a little more about. Her resume is packed, jam-packed, I might add, with amazing accomplishments in many activities such as the principal of ACERN, which stands for Australian Close Encounter Resource Network. She's also the vice president of Star Kids Project, one of the founding members of FREE, which stands for the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, as well as on the advisory board committee as a member of etworldpeace.com. She's a former nurse, midwife, and health educator since 1994. Mary has enjoyed her own private practice as a professional counselor, hypnotherapist, and metaphysical teacher. She has worked in the area of anomalous paranormal experiences, particularly abduction and contact experiences. And through her research, Mary continues to explore evidence from scientific, biological, psychological, anthropological, spiritual and historical perspectives to support that DNA upgrading is in fact taking place to assist us with this transformation of human consciousness. Mary Rodwell is also the author of the 2002 gem entitled Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life, which received a notable commentary by physician and surgical remover of physical implants, Dr. Roger Lear. Y'all know I know about him. He stated, quote, "In my opinion, this book will become the Bible of the alien abduction phenomenon." There's so much more. She has an amazing resume. You'll be able to catch it on her website, which is maryrodwell.com. Is it .au, Mary?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So maryrodwell.com.au. So, wow. How do we begin with that, right? So you've been a busy girl, been getting around the circuit a lot, and I know that your new book is really making waves across the ufology community, and especially, I just, like she and I were very briefly speaking before, the ufology community is so in need of a spiritual influx. And I feel like your book is just such a perfect bridge for that, and giving the children their own mouthpiece. So I think where I want to start it is, there's so many interviews out there, but the one thing I really wanted to say is, in the very beginning, in your childhood, did you even have an inkling you'd be going down this road?
Well, to be honest, it would have been my wildest fantasy to even, you know, I was brought up in a Catholic environment, you know, Mass on a Sunday, this kind of thing. Mum was very religious, but she was also very open. That was the great thing with Mum. As she got older, she would we'd go to Mass in the morning, she'd go to a spiritualist church in the evening and see no problem, because she said it was all God anyway. So she had a wonderfully inquiring mind. Even though she was deeply religious, she was also very open-minded. And I think that helped me as a young girl to also explore. And I've always been interested in the mysteries, that, you know, the whole, not, if you like, anything that was strange, weird and wonderful, paranormal, I was there. It was like, now I want to know more about what this is all about. I've always been someone who's been intrigued by what it has not been mainstream, simply because it was not mainstream that it interested me. Why isn't this talked about? Why do not people be okay with spirits? And I mean, at least within the spiritual context, we, you know, we acknowledge that there was life after death, even if they didn't take it into reincarnation. So no, in answer to that, I never believed in a million years. I thought I was going to be the standard nurse, midwife, mum, etc., etc. And ultimately, I believed that, you know, that once the children went and left home, I would go back into nursing, and then I got sidetracked into counselling, which opened up a whole new panorama, because what it said to me was that with medical intervention, it was usually about, it wasn't about prevention, it was more about trying to cure, whereas in counselling, you're actually working with another level that hopefully doesn't eventuate in disease. So that was my interest in the counselling field, which of course expanded into ultimately what motivates the psychological, emotional, which is the soul.
Did you have clients that came in originally and you just kind of stumbled upon the abnormal ufology experience? Really? Okay, that's interesting.
What was interesting was the synchronicities prior to that, and I'll explain to you that as I was doing counselling in an agency to start with, I was invited to, if you like, explore the metaphysical through a group, a close circle of individuals. A couple of them were clinical psychologists. There was a nursing sister, etc. And we explored things like energy work and healing and intuitive work, connecting to other realms, if you like. And we were trained to work on that other level, which I remember things happening during that 3 years training that I couldn't explain, but I also knew that when I trusted it, it was generally pretty accurate. And a lot of people don't know that this was prior to those coming to me with encounter experiences that, of course, experience a lot of this, the communication with the beings, and trying to understand it. You know, it was very good training to allow me to be open to what they were experiencing. But not only that, I read the book by Dr. John Mack, a psychiatrist who came in as a skeptic and ultimately realized that this was a reality, which I, you know, was a great baseline for my professional side. And then there was Whitney Strieber's book, Communion. Everyone knows that that's a classic. And that was experiential. And I'd read these by sheer synchronicity a couple of months before my very first client walked in the door, a lovely gentleman who's a really good friend of mine now, Ellis Taylor. And he said, look, the support groups for everything, but for this, they just think you're crazy. I've heard you're open-minded. And of course, I couldn't help but be open-minded because I'd also been exposed through this really interesting, if you like, 3-year training in how to understand how to work on that multidimensional level, which initially I came in as someone who never thought in a million years that I could possibly do anything like that because I was far too normal. Ex-nurse, you know, I was far too normal. But it was going to be interesting watching everybody else be amazing, not realizing that actually I could do some of this too. And what it showed me quite dramatically was everyone can do this, no matter where they think they are in terms of understanding this. If they want to, everyone has the ability to do all of this, because ultimately, you know, my belief now is that we all are multidimensional, but we get this shut down through our conditioning and programming, through the educational 3D systems, and through all of that programming, that ultimately those who are intuitive initially will not have the, if you like, the okay to trust that side of themselves. So that's why I'm very grateful for that, because it enabled me to be more open-minded because of what I experienced that I couldn't quantify in any other way than I was tapping into the matrix or to the quantum hologram in the way that I ultimately did.
You know, you were clearly part of the first wave, obviously, you know, to break the molds and break the patterns. And I'm sure many of the people listening are just so grateful for the contributions you've made. I'd like you to explain, you talk a lot about the matrix, the universe, and the omniverse. Can you clarify for the audience how you see those to be different?
Well, I'm using language that science is doing its best to explain how we call the miracles, as Dr. Rudy Shield, you know, calls it the quantum hologram, as he understands it. And what he's really saying is that we have the ability, and I believe it's through the multidimensional nature of DNA, which is something that I've always believed was the window into that side of ourselves, because it is multidimensional. And we know now through science that the DNA creates miniature wormholes into the quantum hologram, which is really our reality, which is really the nature of the true nature of reality. I always say that our left brain is the 3D window. It allows us to see the 3D, and we use our brain and our analytical and our cognitive nature to explore and understand this materialistic world. But the right brain is our multidimensional connection to this dimensional hologram, if you like. And when I say that, the way I understand it is very simplistic, because I'm not a physicist, so I always have to bring it down to the one line. Because that's, you know, I can't understand it from any other level. And the way that I understand it is everything is frequency. And so what we are, we're in this frequency 3D, which means everything we see around us is the same frequency. But as we evolve and change, we go to a different frequency, a different awareness, of and our reality then shifts. And I think the way that we access that frequency is often through the pineal gland, or when we have a kundalini awakening, or when people have a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, or we have a shamanic type experience, then we shift frequency sufficiently to actually access more of the greater reality, yes, or realities. In very simplistic terms, I think it's all frequency. It's all about frequency, ultimately. And, you know, this is where I think we are going as those that want to go, the souls that want to go to that other frequency, are, if you like, accessing what they need so that they can move into this greater awareness, which is what happened to me when I experienced this kind of joint journey into accessing, you know, what people would call spirit guides, or I call them my non-human team, if you like. Yes. The amazing thing was, because I tested it, because I'm a real skeptic on one level, I said, Colin, I need to know that this has integrity. I need to know that you're not pulling my chain, you know, otherwise I ain't going to have anything to do with you, you know.
But, so who do you normally communicate with?
Well, the way that I communicate is I believe I have what I call a spiritual life guide, who is there as my gatekeeper, the one that checks out that everything is in the right place for me or whatever. But I also have a space lady I call Shannara. I also have many other beings that make themselves present. Yeah. Especially if someone comes to see me, I will be shown who's there. On another level, I'll be shown whatever beings are around them, and they'll make themselves known on what I call my screen, which is not here, but here.
Yeah.
And I will, you know, and often they will know them as well. So they get confirmation because, you know, I'll ask them what they feel. And many of the people that come to me are very awake, and that, you know, that often they earn their living through their intuitive abilities and whatever. But what I've noticed, Alexandra, is a lot of people are also underconfident with that side of themselves. Yeah. And they often come and say, how can I be more certain of the information? How can I test the information? And because of those 3 years of very strict training, I can give them tools and say, this is another way to test out whether that information has integrity. And there's a resonance that you feel as well.
That's fantastic. Can you share just one tool with the audience?
Well, one of the main tools that I get when I know that I'm accessing these higher frequencies of being and information is that I will get this buzz through my body, and everything as it's doing now is standing up.
Goosebumps, right?
Yeah, that to me is saying it's accurate,
yeah,
and we agree with you, et cetera, et cetera. Or all the information has integrity. So if I'm hearing some information that has integrity, it'll happen like that. Some people will call it a gut feeling, yeah, or this just sense of heart knowing. There are many other ways that you can feel these beings around you, just simply with what I call the energetic connection, which is a sense something's with you. For me, when I feel an energy here, I know that's my life guide. I always know that. So it's like knowing who you're dialing. Who is it you're dialing? Who are you asking for? Yeah. And having that, if you like, that energetic connection that tells you who's with you. So if I've got a new energy coming in, I want to say, well, show me who you are. I want to know who you are. I want to know why you've come in. And if it's information that's not clear to me, I will ask questions. And one of the things that I've noticed with intuitives, often they're afraid to ask a question if they don't understand. So they'll get information. I'll say, well, they said this. And I'll say to them, well, do you understand what that is? And they'll go, well, not really. I said, well, you ask again. So you get more detail.
Yeah, we are definitely learning how to step into our authority right now. This is a big leap. You know, we're getting out of training wheels, basically. And we're starting to learn to become... Well, we're just in the beginning stages of becoming a galactic human, which is one of the reasons I contacted you, because I was very intrigued by the book. I was wondering too, I know you've interviewed copious numbers of people. I mean, I think it's up to at least 3,000 people that you've taken information on, and you've spoken so much so about the children. And I want to know if you feel that there is a truly divine plan working with the children rather than the adults at this phase, to bridge that religiosity that's been so entrenched in our society, to finally shake people's trees and say, hey, there's something other than what we've been told in these scripts, these books.
Well, absolutely. The new children coming in are born without the programs, so that they already are open. They already know where they're from, whatever star system, whatever galaxy or galaxies or dimensions. They already know this, and they already know why they've come in, what abilities they have. They already know that they've come in to shift this planet into an awakening. They're bringing in the frequencies that help us to shift. And this is what I talk about as well. But the primary thing is, they know how they're being, that we are being manipulated. They know when something is truth. They understand how the conditioning and programming happens in schools, etc., whether it's religious program. And they will question religious programming because they know that that's not accurate. And, you know, what's interesting, when I'm talking to, as I did only a couple of weeks ago, to a 9-year-old young girl in the US, and she was telling me that when she's in her classroom and the teacher says something inaccurate, her fairies, which are beings that take her to her planet of origin before she came here, are telling her what's correct and what's incorrect. So they'll say, that's not correct. Don't listen to that. This is the truth of that, or whatever. So they're being, they see them in, even in their own classrooms. They will see the beings that they're working with who will actually help them with what's going on as well. So they're coming in a way that we didn't have the benefit of. We came in with a lot of the programs, such as, you know, with me.
Much murkier for us, much more dense. And yes. I was going to ask you, I know like a couple of years ago, I had read some fascinating articles about how they've determined so many of the children coming in were already having like a third and fourth DNA strand intact. Are you finding that's even higher now?
I don't know about higher, because we're not getting the information as such, but I certainly have written in my chapter on DNA in the New Human, some of the evidence that's coming through mainstream about a young boy in England who's got a third strand of DNA, and they're not sure how that happened. I'm also talking about the fact that these children are, a lot of them are self-healing, and there's a wonderful information in California of a young boy that ultimately was no longer had AIDS from his mother, that within a few years he was free of AIDS, and they noticed that him and now 1% of those they tested, of the children, have 24 of these particular codons activated, when most of us only have 20. So what we're seeing is an activation of what is in our DNA that up to now, I believe, has not been activated. And part of this, I'm understanding, is due to the frequencies that are coming in, not only with the children, but through the downloads that people are having, through the frequencies hitting this planet at the moment. And the children are bringing in these frequencies that are activating us, crop circles. It's coming through even music and the voice. And I there's a whole chapter on an 11-year-old boy in Australia whose mother wrote to me saying, when he plays the piano, sometimes he knows the beings coming in are playing the frequencies, which he calls songs, and she has to videotape it and record it. And one of them is called, he's got one called Arrival, another one's called Decoding DNA. And this is an 11-year-old boy who's playing the frequencies that he says, with the beings coming in, is called Decoding DNA. Now,
That's just incredible. It's almost as if they are redefining the family paradigm from the inside out.
Yes.
Because how else could we do it?
Yes.
You know, it's brilliant.
I look at this and, you know, when I try and put myself in as much as I can do into the mind of the intelligence, what better way? They've tried accessing those that, you know, on the planet that supposedly have, you know, governing this planet, etc., and realizing, I think, how hard that is. Whereas the best way, I think, of desensitizing humanity to the reality that we are not alone, but also not only we are not alone, but it's family. and not only that, the other way to shift consciousness is to bring the, you know, to bring in souls from those places across the animals with their different abilities and into human containers. And with that, shifting consciousness from, as you say, the inside out, because many of them say, I don't belong here. This is not my home. I want to go home again. I don't like this planet. I don't understand it. It's so barbaric. It's so primitive. Why would I have agreed to come? And many of them, like, it's almost when I talk to the starseeds that mention this, it's almost like they've been sent to boarding school and they don't like boarding school and want to go home. And I'm saying, but you've come here not only to learn, but to
try being in our shoes like decades ahead, you know?
Sort of, it's almost like, well, get over it, guys, because you're coming, you know, it's almost like giving them a talking to and saying,
yeah, no kidding. Now, how many abductees do you actually think there are realistically as far as the percentage of the population?
Well, first of all, I don't use that term.
Okay.
Because, the reason I don't use it is many of those that I've worked with who initially have been quite traumatized, and about 20 to 30% is all the number against 100% that don't, you know, there's 70 or 65% that don't ever believe they've been abducted. They just, you know, they don't have that experience. But the 25 to 30% that do, often there's two important things here. One of them is the most traumatized that I've ever come across are the ones that have had the MyLab, which is the human orchestrated abductions, which is not easy. The second is that often when you take people into the experience in that deep level of awareness where they see procedures, they may for the first time realize what those procedures are for, because you can get them to ask questions in that space. Mm-hmm. And why have you picked me up? How many times? All that can come out in that space. But then one of the important questions I ask them is, have you on any level consented to your experiences in this way? And most of them will say, yes, before I came here. Mm. So that's the important thing. And even although they may not like it, what they have seen is there's a purpose to it. There's a reason why they've chosen to have that experience. But what helps is the understanding behind it. Okay, so is it all, you know, unpleasant or negative? And they'll say, and Tracy Taylor, I talk about a lot, she realized her interaction was and the fear came from her own fear of not understanding. But she said what the Greys did was help me to access my awareness, and the trade-off was the genetic trade-off as well. So there was a trade-off for both. And often as not, this is what I'm seeing. But for me, ultimately, Alexandra, the only way you fully understand it is as a soul journey, as the soul coming in with a mandate. And I know everybody will want to hear that. Not everybody will like that. And not everybody will, you know, it's like depending on your level of awareness will depend on where you sit. Others will say they've got no right, etc., etc. And they have every right to believe that, every right to experience it from their level of awareness. And I honor that. And if that's where they're coming from, then I'll help them at that place. So hopefully, even by, you know, being respectful of how they choose to understand it. But for many others, once they've had that kind of dialogue, understand what's behind it and see how things have changed for them. I mean, one of the great things with the free surveys that we've done, people are really going to struggle with this, but 85% found their experiences positive and life-changing. 85%.
That's incredible.
Almost 3,000 individuals. This is not, I'm a victim, I've been abducted. The ones that have said I've been abducted are about 30% or 32%. That's out of nearly 3,000 individuals. That is not what ufology puts out. That is not what mainstream puts out.
I was just about to say, that's primarily who gets most of the press. Is the MyLab and the very hostile kind of torturous abduction stuff. Yeah,
that's right. So it's turning it on its head, and it's been what I've been over the many years, the 20 plus years that I've been working. It's been what I've been getting, but now I have the substance behind it through our wonderful research with Dr. Bob Davis, who's a neuroscientist, and we've got Dr. John Klimo, who's been a psychology professor for 40 years. They're co-chairing these amazing surveys that are giving us real understanding of how this affects people on multiple levels. And we've already got it in 4 or 5 languages that is going out there. So we're getting the global feedback about this as well. So this isn't just going to be the English speaking world, but this is going to be going into Portuguese, and it's already in, we're doing it in Spanish and German and French and Slovakian. I mean, we're making sure that we're getting a fair representation of the truth of how this is affecting people. And when you have almost 90% saying this has been transformative in their lives, changing their lives in motivation, less materialistic, more ecologically aware, you know, upset when anything is harmed because they feel connected to everything, shifted in terms of wanting to do healing. And, you know, there's almost, I think, 40-something percent that have been healed on craft.
Right on.
Major illness. With some people, major illness. This is what I'm talking about, which is what people don't know, that we've got all this other stuff happening through these intelligences that, you know, is not known by mainstream because they're still in the old, you know.
Well, it's the fear paradigm, you know.
Which is what we're fed globally.
Yeah, you're bringing balance to a topic that's literally on the coffee table now of everywhere. UFOs, extraterrestrial contact, spirit guides, you know, I mean, even Christians are discussing these sorts of things. So it's about time.
Oh, look, I've been saying this for a number of years, and it's really interesting now to see how people are embracing the broader picture. And what I talk about is that we're standing between two paradigms now. Yes. The old 3D and the multidimensional. And part of our role as first waivers, if you like, is to actually balance that bridge so that we can, and the children are showing us the way. They're already there. They're already saying, this is where you're coming to. And we are getting ready to, if you like, expand into their awareness. And so I talk about the different programs on this planet that we are seeing as dysfunctions, when actually we're the dysfunctional ones.
Very true, very true. Now, you also have mentioned that you were really upset that there were other countries that you visited that were not very receptive, that the people felt they had nowhere to turn. Where in particular around the world have you found that the door is somewhat shut to this topic compared to, say, the United States or Australia?
Well, I would say Europe and Scandinavia.
Europe.
And you would be amazed at the letters I get from various countries where they say they can't even begin to mention this.
When
I was in Scandinavia, I realized in Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, it actually was quite scary because we know that this challenges people in some of the English-speaking world, we know for sure, but England and the US has a certain amount or if you like, level of awareness into this kind of thing. But it's almost, in Denmark, I was told, it's almost worse than being a sexual predator to admit that you're having experience.
Wow.
Okay. And when I was in Norway, I remember being really worried because I was coming out with my usual triggers of consciousness, you know, showing how all these different ways are leading to an awakening. And I was a bit worried about presenting this because it wasn't standard UFO stuff. And everything else in the conference was standard in my view. But I thought, you know, I'm in for a penny, in for a pound, as they say. I thought, I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I presented this and there were people in the audience in tears. And one lady came up to me and she said, I'm 79 years old and everything you've spoken about, she said, has been my life. And she said, I've never heard anyone speak about this ever before. And you're the very first person. She was 79. She said, I'm a farmer's wife and I used to call the sheep in with my mind and nobody knew how I did it. And for her, it was a revelation. And then when I went to Stockholm and spoke in Stockholm, a young man of about 28 came up to me and he said, Mary, he said, I was amongst friends and I came out with one of the star languages. They called the police and I was taken to hospital.
That is crazy. That is just crazy. I had to remind myself while I was listening to you that we are in the 21st century, and I've even been told that many children have already, how should I say, they have arrived to the new earth. They are waiting.
Yeah.
There's many of them that have already gotten there. Now, question, you must be seeing a much greater increase in children coming forth and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to?
I attribute it to the need for an accelerating program for this planet. And primarily the information that's come in is because we now have technologies that could literally destroy this planet and also affect the galactic community. It's like they've had to really accelerate that kind of program. And that's what we're seeing, and that's being assisted on lots of different levels. One of the interesting things, the nine-year-old that actually came from Europe, who is someone who said that one of her languages heals water, said that she felt there was at least 50% of the planet that were star seeds in the way that we would call awake. But many of them do get shut down through programming conditioning.
And pharmaceuticals.
Chemtrails.
GMO foods.
And all of these, they're all, I believe, deliberate programs to shut these kids down. But what's fascinating is that there are lots of other things that are going on with... I often remind people to look at some of talent shows. And on the talent shows, you've got this 9 or 10 or 12-year-old child singing in the most mature and beautiful way. And you're getting it right across the board. And people are saying, how do they have this amazing voice? And they're only 10 or they're only 12. And if you listen to them, you'll find that your whole body will vibrate because they're bringing in the frequencies through their voice. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the public just think it's an amazing voice, but they don't realize that they're embodying the frequencies and they're, bringing it in through their voice and through their music. I mean, all the talented kids that are doing that, for example. So you've got these wonderful ways that are transcending the programs on this planet and bringing in the frequencies. And that's one of them is music, the creatives that are bringing in the music and what have,
I was going to ask you, I'm wondering how are the families, as far as the parental construct, how are the parents handling so many of these children that are coming forth and really challenging them, challenging the educational system, saying that everything's crap, none of it's relevant? How are the parents? I mean, you've got to be probably doing sessions with not just the child, but the parent too.
Oh, look, some don't handle it very well at all. Mm-hmm. And there are others that are embracing it, understanding it, and supporting it. So I think, again, it's about where the soul chooses to incarnate, depending on the challenges they want with their parents. But I keep in mind a particular email I got from a lady who was talking about her three-year-old daughter. And she said, Mary, my daughter, right from the moment she was born, was telepathic. And she, she not only connected and read my mind, but those around me. And she said, but my problem is that she's now three and it is really tiring monitoring your thoughts 24/7 from a three-year-old. She said, this is the challenge for her, is to think beautiful thoughts because, you are aware that your child is...
Wow.
Imagine what that's doing. I mean, it's certainly forcing the parent to come from a very loving, unconditional place, which is, again, teaching her exactly that. And this is what I mean. That's just one thing. And many of these children are telepathic. I remember a 13-year-old telling me that at school, she said, the trouble is, Mary, that what the teacher is saying and what the teacher is thinking are two different things. And what the teacher is thinking isn't very nice sometimes.
Well, I've been told that up on the ship, we're already being trained how not to think because we are creators.
Yes.
And so we're going to be creating through different avenues. And being, instead of being so much in the mental body, which can really create a lot of destructive stuff.
And it makes sense, but it's also forcing us to walk our talk. We, you know, we can't just say all the stuff. We really have to clean up our act in terms of what we think about and how we think about things. And as you say, realize our potential as creators as well.
Yeah, really step into our authenticity, and they're really pushing that envelope within the family structure. That's the part that's just fascinating. So, question, you mentioned something about how most of the children that are coming forth, it's an intergenerational circumstance. Why is that, do you feel?
I feel it's because that, you know, they're working with certain genetic lines for different programs for
the start. And so, are you working with specific, are you seeing a larger number of specific races? For example, you hear a lot about the Syrians. You hear a lot about the Arcturians, you know, being like our major buds really have stuck in it with us this whole way. Are you seeing that kind of thing?
What I'm seeing is that a lot of the children will know their origins, or they'll say they're from Orion or from Sirius or from Arcturus or Andromeda or whatever, or through, as one 10-year-old, a portal in the sun. That's how he came in. Another one talked about another dimension that he came through or whatever. So that they do have a sense of that previous existence or whatever. But what seems to be happening is because our DNA is a mix of a number of different intelligences. You know, some say there's 12 different mixes within human Homo sapiens sapiens. Some even say as many as 22. Yeah. The understanding is, when I talked to a 16-year-old who says he's a hybrid, said that what happens is with those that, you know, access that and feel they're a hybrid, such as, you know, I feel Pleiadian or I feel whatever, what he's saying is that part of the DNA that's Pleiadian is the one that's been activated in them, or the one they most resonate to at this point in time. So that's how he explains it. So if you're resonating to Arcturian, for example, that's the frequency that you're accessing at this particular point in your awakening. But he said, you know, ultimately, you are everything. You can be any of those frequencies.
That's true.
Which I thought was a really wonderful way of explaining those that are calling themselves hybrids. And I've met those that have called themselves hybrids between human and a gray, human and reptilian, human and various other different types of crystalline beings, all sorts of energy beings or light beings or whatever. I think it's how, as we get activated, what we are resonating to at that particular moment is what we'll identify with, is how it was explained to me.
You know, I think it's also another divine plan to create peace within the races. And, you know, if you hear about hybridization, it's so much like my labbing. It's really scary, and it's, you know, there's some horrible stuff out on the internet about it and what's happened to the hybrids. But the flip side of that is the program, okay, per se, seems to be a very healing type process on a cosmic level, because it's allowing all the different races to really kind of understand each other better. And it's through the children a lot of times, you know, so you must be seeing a lot of that.
Well, I think you've certainly hit the nail on the head on that level as well. Is I do think that it's allowing us to understand we're all connected, that there's no separation, which is the big message, you know, that there's no difference. And it doesn't matter what color you are, whether you're pink with yellow spots, or if you look like this or you look like that, that ultimately it's all consciousness.
Yeah.
And that we're all part of that matrix of consciousness. And there is no separation. And so when we treat each other, no matter who they are or what they are or how they choose to show themselves to us, that's part of us. And then you can be unconditional.
Yeah, very true. And I remember there was a gentleman I used to interview, the audience, many, many people know him and love him, and he's passed. His name was Torrey Smith, and he had the ability to scan your DNA like that. And he could literally tell you every single planet and star system that you had been a part of. And one thing he told me was that everyone basically had the same journey. They started at one particular planet and they traveled through a very specific sequence. It was really interesting. So we say we're from Orion, but we're probably from like God knows how many other star systems, because that's part of what raises our consciousness is traveling to all the other different galaxies and planets, you know, yeah. and wherever. You had mentioned something about intergalactic, interdimensional, hyperdimensional, and extraterrestrial. Can you clarify? Because I think people are really confused. Like, what's the difference between all those?
Well, again, I'm not a physicist.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I just want your opinion.
My understanding is that it just expands into more of a of layers, if you like, of reality. So that, you know, the way that I look at it now is that we're in this frequency, in this dimension, but we are surrounded by other dimensions, and most people accept that, you know, that these, and I see them just as frequencies, that as you change frequency, you go into another dimension, you go into another and another and another. But there's also apparently parts of our reality that are not dimensional in nature at all, hyperdimensional, in other words, is not in the dimensions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're very good at compartmentalizing, this is this, this is this.
Yeah.
In a way, what that does is limit us. So in a sense, there are the dimensions, but there also very likely are places outside dimensions as well. What they are, I don't know, you know, so there's that sense as well. Because it was really interesting when I was talking to the nine-year-old and her concept of God, where she said it was neither male nor female. It hasn't a gender. And it lives in Dayland, where the angels and the light live. And she said she called it an ultra dimension, ultra terrestrial. So we have these terms in that help us kind of put it in a box,
yeah.
So that we understand it. And I suppose, you know, the physicist would explain that in a different way to how someone who hasn't got a clue, really, like myself, tries to understand it. I try and keep things really, really simple because I'm a simple soul. And I like things that, you know, that I like the baseline. Give me the baseline.
Make it a little bit easier.
Whatever. You know, I don't need the theories, you know. I don't understand them anyway, you know.
Well, you are kind of dealing with a mysterious topic to begin with. So you're going to want to keep it as simplified as possible. And, you know, that brings me to my other question is, I was so intrigued when you talked about how one of your chapters is about God and how they're defining God. Can you share with the audience just some of the cool little tidbits that you're picking up on from what they're experiencing God to be?
Well, what was important to me, because so many people come to me having experiences that have gone through a religious kind of upbringing and are terrified of maybe their abilities, their clairvoyance, clairaudience, they're afraid they're letting in demons or whatever. So that what happens is that ends up with them being in fear, confused, not sure what to make of it or whatever. And because of my own journey through the religious paradigm as well, I know the conflict that can come from that. So what the God chapter, as I call it, cosmic consciousness, the God chapter is really those that have gone through that dilemma, if you like. And two of the stories in there, one is a Reverend Carter who's written two books. He's a minister in the US who's written two books about how he translates his experiences with the extraterrestrials with his understanding of the Bible, etc., and how he reinterprets it, which I think is fabulous. But the other one is a gentleman that I met a few years ago here in Australia, and he's been a minister for 40 years, having extraterrestrial encounters, past life experiences. And what his dilemma has been is that he's been, you know, very passionate about his spirituality, but keeping it within the confines of his dogma of his church was very challenging. And he's written about being a hypocrite, really. In this chapter, wow. He's written why he's finally, and his understanding of God wasn't the God that was part of his, you know.
God, his, that's huge.
He's coming out in my book, literally. He's coming out, he's stating his name. He's saying, why he now looks at it from this perspective. So you've got the Reverend Carter in the US, but also what was fascinating was emails I got from a gentleman, a young adult actually, in India, and Suryev. And Suryev said to me, my problem is, Mary, I know I'm a star seed. He says, my problem is that my culture sees them all as gods. He said, when they're just, they're star beings. And he said, and I can't talk about this because they're gods to them. We've got all these hundreds of gods, he says, but are just star seeds. How do I, as a star seed, manage in a culture that is seeing them from that perspective? So his dilemma was the opposite, if you like, to the dilemma of those within the religious that are seeing this broader picture. But I also point out that the Catholic Church is honouring of this experience through some of their, one of them is Monsignor Corrado Baducci, who was an exorcist, that says this isn't demonology, this isn't a psychological illness, this is a real experience. So the Catholic Church is standing on the fence, as it always does, but some of those, like the Jehovah Witnesses and other belief systems around Christianity, are seeing this as demons. I've got a personal take on that was because I was faced with a couple of Jehovah Witnesses at my front door, and I was actually really busy, and I really wanted to move them on pretty fast. Look, I've got no problem with them in their world of belief. That's how they choose to believe God, etc.
It's their journey. You know?
It's their journey. Yeah. Fine with that. Don't have a problem with it. But I was busy, so I thought, well, the only way that they'll move on fast. So I actually answered them, and I said, look, I support people who have extraterrestrial encounters. I said, so perhaps you need to just, I thought they'd be gone like a flash of lightning, you know. One of them said, but I have those experiences.
And wow. He said,
yeah, but then he said, it's all demons. And he started to quote bits in the Bible where his interpretation was demons. And so we had this hours conversation while his partner was standing there looking gobsmacked, and here we are sharing our interpretation of that as well. So it worried me in the sense that this guy was determined to be in fear, was determined to believe it was all negative, and there is absolutely nothing I can do about that. But my challenge to the religious fraternity in that chapter is, you've really got to get your act together, because more and more are going to come to you for answers. And you really have to start owning that, you know, that there is this reality. And they're not all demons, you right. know. You've got to start, like, you know, at least the Catholic Church has made some kind of move towards that. But the others really, I mean, in Buddhism, they're fully accepting of beings from other star systems. And I've got a little quote from the Dalai Lama, for example. So that chapter really is to help people going through that whole shift in what should I believe, mm-hmm. what's okay to believe, and some very profound sharing from Dr. Michael Carter and from this other gentleman from Australia that are saying, we're in it, and this is how we understand it now. So I'm hoping it will clarify things for individuals in that space.
So, are you finding that a lot of the people that you have sessions with, are you finding them elated that we're getting closer to this big leap and this big shift? I mean, are you finding less trepidation? Or are you finding more, you know?
It's actually a mix of both.
Really?
Some anxiety with an anticipation. Some really are, come on, we know something's going to happen soon. Yeah. And there's a sense of excitement. And also a certain amount of trepidation. What does this mean? But an excitement, a sense it's got to happen. It's time and all the rest of it. And others are feeling we're not moving fast enough. This sense of, you know, we really have to, almost this real sense of urgency, mm-hmm. get this stuff out there, get this information out there, get people waking up because more people need to wake up and what have you. So there's a mix of that depending on the individual and, I suppose, depending on their job, their mission, and why they're here.
Yeah, I feel that too. I feel that urgency. I think a lot of the higher profile on the internet people, we do feel that. It's like we can't keep up enough with all the information and trying to, you know, keep people informed and that kind of thing. So I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And making sure, you know, I am really strongly of the belief that the days of reptilians and my labbing and all of this garbage, it is coming to an end literally as we speak. We have to start learning to focus on our new heaven on earth and not so much about how do we tear down, because it's already torn down. It's already being uncreated. It's like a whole new paradigm shift for all of us.
I think you're absolutely right. It is about where we focus, because the more you focus on that side of it, the more you're giving your energy. And you know, the more that you're part of that creation, and it's not denying that it's there.
Exactly.
It's knowing it's there, but choosing not to be part of it, choosing to continue to raise the frequency and send out this information. I get critiqued sometimes, and I understand why, with people who've had very difficult experiences and have been badly traumatized, whether they've perceived it through an extraterrestrial vehicle or human vehicle or whatever. And they'll say, but you don't say enough about that, Mary. You don't say enough about this. And I'm saying, because I'm focusing on where we're going, because that's the important thing, is not where we've been and what's happened there. It's not denying it, because we're here for a human journey, and some of it's painful. This is how we grow. You know, we grow more through our pain most often than when things are all honky-dory, you know.
It's like the human way.
Yeah. You've got to be pushed against the wall and given a few tips of the ear roll, you know. Before you get it, you know. Unfortunately, that's the nature of human beings, you know. Look at the children where you say, don't touch that, that's hot, and it will burn you and it will hurt, that still have to touch it.
Yeah.
And
still have to get that. So curious, they got to check it out. What's it going to feel like to hurt?
You got it. You know, some of us need to do that.
Yeah.
We need experience before we get it, you know. So this is part of the journey, but I'm saying, let's look at what we can do and where we're going, and what we can be as individuals into part of that, rather than all this other stuff that will be sorted. It has to be, because you know, it doesn't have the energy.
And it is.
And it is. So, you know, I've come here to do a job, and people say, well, aren't you worried about, you know, what may happen? I'm saying, look, I've come here to do a job. I must have realized I could do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been incarnated in the first place. And I know that I would have had a hassle with whoever said, you've got to go down there, Mary. You're going to work really hard, but it isn't going to work. Sorry, you're going to be wasting your time. Do you know what I would have said? Find some other mob to go and do it. I'm not going there. I'm going to stay in Galactic Headquarters. Thank you very much. You know, it's just like, I wouldn't have come. So that's how I feel. And I don't think these kids have come for a waste of time.
No.
They know that there's enough of them to help us make that shift. And I can't see anything else that makes sense other than that.
You know, if we can just gain some perspective as to how tough was it even 2 years ago, and where are we today, and how much more support we have, and how much of more of a frequency kick we've had, literally almost about, what, every 3 to 4 weeks now? You know, even I'm still, like, trying to get over my ascension stuff here. But, you know, it's all good, everybody. We are going to such a better place than we've ever been before in a long time. In fact, we're going to a place we've never even been before. From what I'm hearing, not only is the human divine blueprint ever new, this is like a new blueprint that we've never even experienced, but also the earth that we are about to cohabitate with is something we've never experienced before. And we're so close. I mean, this is just, in my opinion, I keep waking up, like, in the last couple of days. I do want to warn people that what I've been hearing is people are having nightmares because timelines are collapsing drastically right now because the matrix is collapsing and uncreating itself. So just recognize everything's getting pulled in, including yourself. You're a microcosm of the macrocosm. She sees that all the time, right, Mary? And now, here's something I would love for you. I have a lot of audience that have a lot of children. Many of them have very special children, and you run into autistic and Asperger's and bipolarism, you know. Can you give people some tips on how to bridge that frustration that they have? They know their child is special, but they're not quite sure how to reach the child or get it to the next level.
Well, part of the book, which I hadn't originally realized was going to be in it, was some ways of balancing a lot of the children out, particularly those like ADHD and Asperger's and whatever, because there are things that they need more of, certain minerals, vitamins. And Dr. Lena Olson, a molecular biologist who's also an experiencer, because she's a letter person, as she calls it, has found certain things will support them and balance the children out, for example. So in the book is her information on how to do that, the different minerals they need, the different vitamins they need, what kind of diet is best and most helpful, and other ways to understand what's going on with their children. So, you know, it's practical help in there as well. But I'm also looking at a holistic way of educating the children. I've had educators, there are star seeds that have written curriculums to help to really start a whole new system of how we help these children from baseline. And this is the new education.
Good.
So I've got a whole chapter on a holistic way of educating from these educators, what nursery teachers have noticed with the new kids because they're star seeds themselves and have seen, you know, to recognize them, to understand how to be with them, how to approach them, so that it's really giving as much information to the parent on multiple levels about how they can make a difference. And one of those things is, you know, assisting the child to open up multidimensionally. And there are places now that are teaching this. One of them I'm hoping to come here actually to Queensland to teach my daughter how to. And what they're doing is they're showing how children can open up their abilities from 6 to 12 years old. And with it, you know, you can blindfold them and they can see with their multidimensional cells. They can perceive things outside. And this is an ability that children can have if they're given the opportunity to learn it.
Yeah, and not shut down.
Not shut down. And the schools that are, you know, there are different people teaching this now. And I'm hoping to start something in my locality. And this is being, you know, something that is expanding on the children's awareness so that they can feel empowered and they can feel also listened to, because the schooling will be, they're teaching us what they most need to be all they can be. We do the listening and then we can help them work out the 3D world, but they're teaching us exactly what they need so they can actually access the information that they have to teach us how to shift things on this planet.
That is
education.
That is so cool. Now, if someone is a teacher in the audience and they want to contribute and help you in any way, are you accessible for that?
Absolutely. I've already been accessed by a lady, and she's an educator. She's already created a curriculum for that, but she can't come out and say who she is yet, but yes, she has them ready. A lot of the teachers, many of them are star seeds, and they know that the education is wrong, but they don't know how to put together something else apart from what they have. So we've really got to bring those that are aware together to start looking at what is it. And this is, you know, this is nothing to do with the old paradigm in the sense that, you know, it was very good. Montessori and Steiner were, if you like, precursors to this, but this is a whole different ballgame. This is very much where, the child teaches us what it needs. So, you know, we're going to be educated, not the other way around. And through that, we can then give them the space to manifest why they've come here. I talked to a 17-year-old in New Zealand who told me he's an Arcturian ambassador, and he said that he's come to create a ecology or habitat that fits in with the ecology of the planet. So that's his mission as an ecological engineer for this planet. And that's why he's coming from Arcturus. Now, this is what I mean. The teenagers that are aware, a lot of them are still considered the fringe. And I mean, his story is in my book too, because it's you know, he shows things he did as projects in his school when he was 15 or 16, showing the pyramid power and working with crystals to expand consciousness. And it was one of the things he did for his school project. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. And he speaks Arcturian. I've actually got, and I do take the recording. The reason for that is that when someone sees a presentation, I'm actually putting activations in there, whether or not it's in artwork or it's in the languages. And I remember one nurse coming to me after hearing one of the languages, and she'd found herself writing script that she'd never done before, right after hearing one of the languages. So, you know, part of my mandate, and I say to people, you know, if you come to one of my presentations and you don't want your paradigm shifted, leave, because I'm taking no responsibility for how this presentation is going to affect you, because in it are triggers. I've put triggers in there because anyone who is ready will get those triggers, whether or not they're aware of it or not. They will feel different. They will be aware of a difference in terms of their experience, because that's part of it. That's part of sending out these frequencies to everyone who is a container for those frequencies. And it carries.
As an ambassador, that's what you're doing in your particular role anyway. You're catalyzing people right now just by they looking into your eyes, hearing your voice, that kind of thing. Because everything, I mean, as an alchemist, I see everything through frequency, everything. Yeah. And, you know, it's just so, you must get up in the morning and be so excited, because to be able to just get a glimpse of all the different star beings and the fact that they have recall. And that they remember. I mean, this is what adult clients are chomping at the bit for. They are so much desiring this, but they've been through such the heavy programming and thought pattern looping. And God, I mean, that's another thing I was going to ask you. It seems like a lot of the children that are visiting this planet now haven't been here a long time. I'm not saying all, but it just seems like a lot of the older clients, we've been here for a long time. Mm. I mean, and I was wondering if you see that at all in your work.
Well, the thing is, for those of us that have been on Earth a number of times, we've come in, as you say, the first waivers or whatever, because we still can relate to a certain extent without going crazy.
Yeah.
We can play the game. As I always remember this thing in my head when I was about 13 or 14 in school, and all I heard was, you've got to play the game, Mary. You've got to play the game. And I seemed to know what on earth that meant at the time. But it was just like this thing was saying, you've got to play the game, you know. So we can play the game because we've been here before. But the new ones that are coming in without the programs, you know, they're struggling on one level because they don't get it. They really don't get how this all works. And so they're out of, it's almost like they're living in two realities, and one of them makes absolutely no sense, which is the 3D. So it's really hard for them. One of the accounts that really touched my heart was a 16-year-old teenager. And he said to me, Mary, when I was about 10, I nearly committed suicide. Mm. And he explained to me why. He said, because my family kept saying, get in the real world. You don't, you know, you all your fantasies about you being this and coming from Mars, or just forget all of that and just join, you know, be normal, basically. So he said to me, Mary, I tried being 3D normal. He said, I got so depressed and so sad. He said, I wanted to die. So he said, I realized then, I made a decision. He said, I decided I'd go back to my multidimensional awareness, because that supported and nurtured me, whereas the other didn't. And he said, but it also with it came all the stresses that go with being multidimensional. He said, I would go to school and I would be aware of if a child had been abused the night before or another child was having this going on. I would be taking all of this on. He said, to the point where I couldn't go to school anymore because it was too painful.
Oh, my God.
So that's the reality. And this is why so many kids don't want to go to school. It makes no sense to them. All of the stuff they're hearing is rubbish. to them. Do you wonder why they don't want to go there? This is why the school system, we have to revise it all. We have to start again.
Yes.
On this plain living without any preconceived ideas and say to the kids, what is it you need? What is it you need to be all you need to be and you can be? And from that baseline, we work round it so that we can provide what they need.
Have you gone to the corporate and the government level? Not that that's ever going to really make a difference in the future, but right now, here today, I'm wondering how are you going to work with them?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. I was contacted by a lady in Canada who got in touch with an anthropologist educator in South America who's running a new kind of educational system with her government's permission. Ooh. Called pedagogy. And basically, she's talking about, going with the children and providing the loving environment and all the rest of it. And this woman said she wanted to talk to me. Now, I thought, what's an educator wanting to talk to me from South America for? And I thought maybe she misunderstands what I'm talking about when I talk about the schools. And so we started talking. She's Mary. I said, what you're doing is beautiful. You're obviously honoring the child and all the rest of it. I said, but do you really know where I'm coming from? with the ET stuff? And they went, oh, absolutely, Mary. She said, but we don't say that. She said, we just say this and we take it to the We just don't tell them that, she said. And I said, oh, thank goodness for that, because I was wondering, whether she was coming and not understanding that this is, but she did. She got it, absolutely.
Oh,
but what she was doing was presenting a package that was acceptable to the educational department without the other layer of understanding that she knew. As far as I'm concerned, people, are going to think, I don't know what mainstream thinks of me. I have got no idea other than I'm the crazy alien lady.
Who cares?
But, in terms of this, I believe it'll be the starseed teachers that ultimately will find a way of presenting a kind of system that maybe, the governments, and maybe people in the governments that are starseeds will be the ones. And I suspect it will be something like, or they'll get switched on and activated. And so they will know that this is the way to go and that's how it will come through. I have to understand that this is so vast in terms of we're just little tiny pieces in this matrix.
I know.
Of agendas.
Upon agendas.
Yes.
But the cool thing is nothing is going to be wasted. Mm. So all of these, what we would call dark politically powerful figures, they are vacating. Mm. And those vessels are going to be used possibly,
yeah,
for these brilliant higher dimensional beings to come in and actually assist us.
Yeah.
They don't want to waste that physical vessel to get the job done.
I think there's also a lot of people that are not yet activated to their true mission. Because they've been educated over their whole lifetime without being aware that that's waiting as a program for them. And we know that the children talk about being educated on the craft. I mean, what I love is the way they describe it. I was talking to a 9-year-old in the US who wanted to talk to me because recently she'd been taken to a black hole and to a wormhole and shown inside of these. But she was also taken to a planet, which she said that she was, that in this planet, she was being shown how to use her third eye and shown how to fly. And she was describing what she needed to do. And she said, and I said, and so what are your abilities? And she said, one of the elements, she said, the wind and the clouds. So she's like a human elemental that is coming. She says, others that have, that will have some other element that they deal with, but mine is the wind. And she knows that this is what she can control. Now, this is what I mean. And it's her fairies that take her to the planet to show her how to do all these things. So they're being taught on the craft. They're given information from all levels, from being shown a black hole right through to being, shown a worm. And this one's a wormhole as well. And she described to me what she was seeing. She said in the wormhole, she was seeing planets breaking up and then coming back together again, almost like this was a tape recording of showing timelines and what have you as well. And in the wormhole, she was being shown images of dinosaurs and all this kind of thing, other again a kind of recording. But she, and I said, is it like seeing a video or was it real? She said it feels real when you're there. It actually feels real. Now, what are they learning? They're learning a whole different physics to us. Yeah. And in terms of what these things are. And she's 9. She's actually in my book, I think that's chapter 5 or something or other, and a mother I'm calling Amy, her name's Fern, but she was actually just got a picture of what she drew of the being and what he was showing her in a spacecraft. You know, these are concepts 9-year-olds. What 9-year-old knows about black holes and wormholes? And
exactly. Even if you with no background in that whatsoever. And so she's just very comfortable talking about this and isn't even worried about sharing this information with you.
Well, I know her mother because we've had lots of communication. Her daughter wanted to speak to me. And to give you an example of that, and what is so touching is when they want to talk to me about their experiences, and they obviously talk to their mother, but, you know, I said, do you ever mention this at school? She said, no, they wouldn't understand. Mm-hmm. But when I was talking to one gentleman, a very, very aware gentleman in the US, his 9-year-old son said he wanted to speak to Mary. And I was, okay, you know, what would you like to, I said, why do you want to speak to me? And he said, well, it's because of your frequency. And then he proceeded to say he was from Orion. He was working in higher technologies such as time travel technologies. And he said he's a light physicist and he's come to this planet with that knowledge. But unfortunately, the scientists here are very behind and backward and they wouldn't understand his physics, even if he tried to explain it to them. He said the nearest to that is Nikola Tesla. And he said, but he's pretty basic to what he knows. Now, this is the awareness of these children that I'm talking about that have this kind of information. But again, you know, who do you talk to or who do you share with sure. when you have got this, you know, this higher dimensional understanding of physics, for example, and whatever. So what we have to do, again, is provide the environment where they can tell us and explain to us what it is they understand and they know. And this is how it's all going to shift, in my view.
Well, and also, I think it would really be good to, are you doing like parents shows? Because I noticed you're doing documentaries and you're on TV. You know, I would imagine there's really going to need to be almost a class on how to handle star children that have all this incredible information. I mean, because God bless the parents who have been heavily indoctrinated and just have absolutely no clue what they should do next. And then feel, frankly, inadequate.
Hmm. One of them, the kids have usually picked parents that obviously have start seeds in their background. Some of them will be more switched on than others. So maybe some of them, as their child becomes more aware and affects them, they're actually awakening them too. So that more as they awake and communicate themselves, the
it's
more
like a
they'll
great job, right?
It's like yourself and myself. When we get information coming in that we're not sure about, what do? We say, come on, guys, give us some feedback on this one. Yeah. What is that? But we've come to a place where we will look at that and we will trust that. And you know, part of my role has been to show people how this is part of who they are, that this isn't weird and wonderful, that this is what we are actually meant to, how we're meant to understand our realities is not just through the analytical left brain, but through our multidimensional selves is when we are complete, when we are all we can be, when we're actually accessing information from those levels and bringing it together in an integrated form is the natural nature of who we are. As you know, I discovered over, you know, a number of years within myself. So what I do with the parents is say, what do you sense? Have you got a feeling about that? Have you got a knowing? Listen to it. So it's about getting people to feel safe and comfortable within that vehicle that's giving them that information that they may have dismissed before. What's your feeling that you need to do? Mm. So I'll go back and say, what shall I do, Mary? And I'll say, well, what do you sense you need to do? What do you feel you need to do? What is that knowing telling you? So I'm showing them that they can do this. Everyone can do this.
Mary, it's almost as if you need to train a whole bunch of counselors. Because the people must be I'm just sitting here thinking, how many counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists are getting inundated with the same kind of information, but they're too shut down?
I have trained some therapists and some clinical psychologists and some working in the field that have wanted to work in a similar way, but haven't felt confident enough to access that part of themselves. So I've, again, taught them tools in the way that I was trained, mm-hmm. and developed tools. And I did this for a number of years. In fact, I had two classes. I had one which I called the left brain lot, which were the clinical psychologists and the teachers, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm bringing them into their multidimensional selves. And I had the creative intuitives that needed to be brought into more of their grounded self because they were off with the fairies. So it was like I had these two mindsets, and with each one I had a different mandate to show them how it works. And it really is, it's one of the easiest but one of the most difficult with the left brainers. As I used to say, look, you know, in your left brain you think before you speak. With your multidimensional self, you speak before you think. So it's actually the reverse of the coin, so that, you know, within that then you can access all of your awareness between the two, but you have to have it in balance. And a lot of the time we're out of balance because we're going around most of the time like this. And yet everyone says, my intuition is always right. My sense is always right when I listen to it. And I'm saying, well, why don't you do it some more? But sometimes people need the permission to trust it almost. It's bizarre, isn't it, that we and look, you know, you just need someone to say it's okay.
I was also wondering, you know, there is a propensity for younger children now to dabble more into sexual relations at a much earlier age, drugs at a much earlier age, plus they're getting exposed through social media at a much earlier age to what they can emotionally and mentally handle. And then you've talked about how you're running into like suicidal, you know, clients. So when it's a star child, where do you first go with that when they're suicidal?
Well, I think that what Zach was talking about, and he's in the book too. I mean, he's a very, very aware soul that was talking to me like, it took me to being 60 before I got some of the concepts that he's already got at 60. It's kind of humbling, you know. I mean, it took me to get to 60 to hear what you're talking about. You're 16, you know? Wow! You know, it's very, very humbling. But anyway,
wow.
What I'm noticing is with those that are struggling, that's part of the reason they go onto drugs and why they alcohol or they do things is because they don't know how to deal with what they're experiencing with nobody understanding. So they shut down. You know, it's one way of blanking it out. If I can shut it out, then I can be normal.
Yeah.
You know, quote unquote. And this is what we have to realize is a lot of the suicides and whatever is because they're experiencing so much more and seeing so much more. That they, one way they'll either try and shut it down through drugs or they just decide to give up entirely and just go on some other reality trip that isn't showing them what they're already experiencing.
I was going to say, you know, because the drugs can really enhance their empathic abilities, their telepathic abilities. My God. Well, No, go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off.
So this is why I think that so many are drawn to that, because they're trying to seek another understanding, another way of working out what is on earth going on. Because as this lovely little 9-year-old said to me, she said, Mary, you know, I said, can you talk about this at school? She said, not at all, because they just wouldn't understand. So you're living this reality that no one else around you understands or accepts. And You know, what do you do with that when you, I always remember, and it still triggers my heart, when this 8-year-old in this very room was telling me about his experiences, and he looked at me in the eye and he said, "So you mean I'm not crazy?"
Hmm.
Now, when a child of 8 is checking out whether or not they're crazy,
that's crazy alone.
What on earth are we doing to our children?
God.
You know, that breaks my heart.
And are you seeing a lot of these children just being, you know, plastered with, you know, Ritalin and I bet.
And that's exactly it. It's because it's, and I don't want to sort of focus too much on the agenda, which is, I'm sure there are a lot of those out there that think they're doing the right thing mm-hmm. because they don't know anything else. And at least the child can function apparently in that space. But you know, with all of that, we know the harm it's doing to them, you know, biologically, even if it's just that. What is that saying to you is when you know the harm this is being done, but we also know the agendas, the darker agendas about really damaging these kids one way or another, in whatever way they can, whether it's through the crap food or, you know, all these other things that we know about, you know, from the water to the to everything that's around us that is actually affecting these very sensitive biological containers of these children, which are hypersensitive to everything.
And I would imagine, you know, like I've read up on autism, how they're actually very happy children who kind of live in their own world, and they're very telepathic. Do you agree with that?
Or that there's research now showing that they're telepathic. And I think that's where the clue is for the parents, that if you've got a child that's acting up or whatever, remember they're telepathic. They can read your thoughts and emotions. So if you're getting frustrated or if you're, you know, otherwise distracted or whatever and you don't understand, that is going to be translated to the child and the child will not know what to do with it. Because here's all this emotion and feelings of mum. Mum's frustrated with me. Now mum's cross with me, or mum's this. Then they're going to act up because they don't know what else to do.
Right.
So it's actually something we've got to realize is that everything we're projecting is being picked up by those children because of their telepathic awareness. But it's not just that. They're hypersensitive to everything around them, you know, feeling energetically and whatever as well. And this is what we have to understand. They are multidimensionally more aware than us. And so everything that we're projecting has to come from an authenticity, but also from unconditional love, because that's the only thing that will reach them in the way they do. I've met teachers that know this, that are looking after autistic children, and have got various programs that they've intuitively put together. And I have a whole chapter on the holistic way to deal with the letter people, which is Asperger's, dyslexia, ADHD, and forms of autism, not the one that's been created potentially by vaccines, but the one that they are born, because that's another program. The one with the vaccines, I think, is another agenda that is to confuse us and also, but I don't know, that's just a hypothesis, that that's just another one of these, which I, you know, who knows, because I can't prove it. But, you know, it's not the same, because that's been induced in a different way, not born that way, which is different.
I was curious, do you find, is there a specific profile that you're finding physically, like blood type, you know, things like that, the culture, you know, their race or whatever?
All I know is that there seems to be a fairly high number of Rh negative blood types.
Really?
There's not enough information. I think there are indicators in the blood. I'm pretty certain there are. But I would like to have that kind of research, because some people say they're hybrids and know that they've got a different genetic makeup, but have no way, even with the standard DNA tests, of finding what that is. But I do suspect there is a way of knowing ones are hybrids because of some of the testimony I've heard. So I do think there's something that would indicate that side of things. And that's an area that I would be very interested in following through on, because of, testimony. But they've not had any way of showing me it in a tangible way. But I suspect so. I definitely think there'll be some, you know, physical indicators like that.
That's fascinating. And the other thing you were talking about was sensory overload. So I would imagine, are you finding these children, they're steering away from computers and cell phones? Is it affecting them differently?
Well, certainly the 9-year-old that I spoke to that was coming out with the languages told me that a lot of these frequencies are damaging us and taking away our energy. But the trouble is, there are so many children drawn to it because it's another way of escaping reality. And they are actually very, you know, they are able to, I've seen it in my own grandchildren, technology draws them. It actually is another way, I think, of keeping that very busy mind of theirs from keeping it active. So they are drawn to it. So it's very hard to keep them away from technology. So ultimately, I'm not sure how that's all going to unfold because it's such a powerful medium for our kids to be drawn into.
And it's addictive, you know.
It's very addictive. I see it with my 3-year-old grandson, you know. I mean, it's just like, what 3-year-old normally can sit for 2 hours doing a whole game or whatever.
None?
And he won't move.
Wow.
Building this thing that he can do. And his older brothers can't believe what he can already do. And he's just
unheard of.
I know. So this is my point, is that these are the children that are coming in. And yeah, and I think there's something about all of that we have to be very conscious of. I'm not saying deny them that, because I think that's part of their growth as well, but it's just about balance. And thankfully their mother is a very wise soul, and she knows how to, you know, to manage that so that it's not, you know, something that they're doing all the time or whatever, which I think you can't hide them, keep them from their experiences, but you can manage that and you can bring balance into that. I think that's the watchword is balance.
I was going to say, and you know, probably a really good question for you would be, how do you recommend that people all over the world, especially all the parents that are listening, where would they begin to start and support your work on a local level within their location? Where would they begin with that?
Well, the first level for them, depending on how or where they are, and if they're listening to this program, they're probably fairly well tuned in anyway, is to go with what sort of sense they have of the best way with their child, because they know their child better than anyone. Most important that they listen. They listen to their child, and if anything's disturbing them or worrying them, give time to that, because a lot of kids may get nightmares, or they may be sensing things or seeing things, and they need to be believed, and they need to know that for them it is an experience that is real. And to help them find ways to help them deal with that. So if they're seeing things at night or experiencing things, you can have different strategies to help them feel safe and whatever. The main thing is to believe and accept what they're telling you is part of what they're experiencing and not dismiss it. So have time to listen, I think, is the important thing. And I think in terms of the community, that can start with looking at trying to find other like-minded parents that are concerned. I mean, there's a great movement towards Steiner schools, for example, and whatever. And I think the Steiner schools are a good start too, because at least they're multidimensional. But it's a matter of parents of like minds getting together and actually saying, what can we do to change things? And for a lot, it may be homeschooling, you know, if they can do it, or at least get a group of people that are looking at, because I think homeschooling is a good interim until you actually get to a point where you've got.
I think so too. I mean, the statistics really show not only are they so much more well-educated because they're getting one-on-one and they're getting more attention, and you're accommodating their personality.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, my sister homeschooled her kids, and they're really sharp, very, very intelligent. So is there anything that's going to happen as far as you coming out to the United States? Are you going to be coming out here to visit us anytime soon?
Well, it's not firmed up yet. There's a possibility I might be coming to a conference in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
June if it comes off. That may mean that I will be doing something in West Virginia. That will follow from that if it happens. So I don't know yet. And there is also a possibility of doing Scandinavia again and possibly something in Europe and something in England. But at the moment, it's all sort of in the ether, as it were. So apart from that, that's the possibility. And of course, if it's meant to be, it will unfold. And from that, I wait to see where they want me to go next. You know, it's like, Mary, this is where you're going now. Oh, right. Okay.
Over here to this continent.
Look, that's how it's been for a number of years is, right, guys, what's next year about? I'm only sort of get a sense of certain things, you know. I'm doing Byron Bay here in New South Wales in January.
Oh, which, fantastic.
Which is good because it's two conferences back to back, the Afterlife Explorers Conference, which I'm speaking about the Star Children and the past lives, etc., but leading into the Close Encounters Conference where I'm looking at all the triggers of how we're woken up. And with that, I've had some wonderful research from China. A researcher in China was sending me cases of people doing similar things to that I'm talking about, bringing in different music, people uneducated that are suddenly drawn to producing music frequencies, doing script that aren't Chinese, and drawings, some of these which look like star maps, and also bringing in beings from other intelligences. So it's, he said, you're the only person I know that clients are doing this. Well, these are the ones that we call it being extra psychic. They're seeing it as a kind of phenomena. They're not tapping into why it is.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm just seeing more of the same, but coming from China. So we've started a dialogue on how he interprets it as a researcher and how I interpret it from the metaphysical information that I'm getting as well. But what was fascinating, some of these drawings, you know, are a meter long, and the woman, uneducated, one of them's a farmer, and she starts at one point, and she doesn't take, they call it unicursal in China, she doesn't take her pen off the paper in the whole matrix of what she's drawn until the very end where it joins up. So that in itself is a phenomena without anything else. But, you know, he said, look at all this script, and it looks like Zen calligraphy, but it's not Chinese. And he said, I don't know what, they don't even know what it is. But again, so many are coming out with these scripts now.
Yes.
I think are part of, some of them are able to be read and translated. Some of them, I think, are, if you like, compressed files of information that we'll understand at some other time, because I think they're just being put there as software for the upgraded.
It seems like the star languages are really becoming catalyzed now. I just interviewed somebody last week regarding this same topic, and I met her at a conference when I was speaking there, and she just started talking in this language, and it's like I had a knowingness that I knew that language. And then she switched to another one, and I started crying. I didn't consciously understand what she was saying, but it really resonated to my heart. Beautiful stuff coming out, you know, and able to write all these different dialects, you know, like up to 60 different dialects. Incredible stuff.
It is, and how can you ignore that this is part of the phenomena when it's so much part of the phenomena for different people who've never done anything like that before? As in China, they're very keen to tell you if somebody's educated or not educated, because that's obviously very important. And each one, it's got uneducated, or it's farmer, or it's someone that's not had, you know. But really what it's saying is, to me, is the less educated are clearer conduits for this information.
Less programming, right?
That's what that says to me. Yeah. When I'm just thinking, yeah, a clearer channel.
Well, and you've had less, I mean, I'm college educated, but I get it, because you've had less time for somebody else to tell you what is the truth.
That's exactly right. And it's exactly that. But what is great for me, it's showing that this is a global phenomenon. And, you know, just the whole way that it's understood, of course, is going to be different depending on the culture. I mean, in India, they're getting a lot of these children that they're teaching how to see without being blindfolded. And they're seeing it as a psychic thing, whereas they're not realizing these are just upgraded humans that are able to do that and access it a bit more easily. And they need children from 6 to 12, which is interesting, isn't it?
It is.
They say adults can learn it, but it's much harder for them. But they're picking on the 6 to 12-year-old to teach this particular protocol, which enables them, literally, to read with other parts of their body, literally. And I've seen video of it, and it's being taught in Mexico. They've got quite a high number of children being taught it. And I actually saw video years ago of a 16-year-old girl from Mexico. And not only was she telling them what was on the photographs blindfolded, but she actually read the headlines of this newspaper under her feet with her shoes on, and actually was able to read the headline.
And they're coming in so intact.
Oh,
you know, their gifts are so intact compared to us. They don't have that amnesic veil like we did.
Well, and it's just showing that they, you know, some call it their, you know, their energy or their light or whatever, but it's consciousness, isn't it? It's just that they're expanding their consciousness. And, you know, one of the stories from one lady's daughter was that they asked her about the number plate of the car outside. Now, you're blindfolded and you're being asked what's the number plate outside, and she could read it off. She could tell them what it was, for example. So it's very, very compelling. Even if you look at it from that angle, it's showing what we all can do, and our children are actually showing that. So if you want, you know, the more 3D person who wants more compelling kind of evidence, then this is the kind of, it's very, very compelling. But it's showing what we can learn and what we can teach our kids and how we can help our kids. And it's funny, I was talking to Dr. Lena Olsen, who's from Sweden, and she said, Mary, if I tried to teach that to kids here, I would be locked up, because they would say that I am overly influencing children.
Wow.
So couldn't teach it in Sweden. It would be against the law.
And we don't even have that perspective of Sweden. You know, we really don't.
We see it as very technologically advanced, et cetera, you know, and very sexually free and all the rest of it. But when it comes to the paranormal or the extrasensory, it's a whole new ball game.
Interesting.
She's lost a lot of her colleagues because she's a molecular biologist, but she does healing with crystals. And they just...
Well, you tell her that I'll talk to her and I'll interview her. We can get her out on the map, baby.
The stuff that she understands, and she's got the science with it as well. It's not
just... That's just a shame, you know? That's just a shame. Well, I was going to ask you, too, how are the Russians and the Chinese responding to all of this? Because I heard you talking about how you have some clients in that location of the world. Are you finding them to be... I've heard that the Russians are actually far more open to the paranormal than even we are.
I absolutely agree with that. And, I mean, I remember reading, I think it was a Psychic Discoveries behind the Curtain in the 70s.
Oh,
when
wow.
It was absolutely a revelation to me. They were doing things with hypnosis. They were doing things with intuitive... Mm-hmm. And psychic abilities and the paranormal way before it was ever even looked at in terms of, you know, the rest of Europe and whatever. I believe there's so much they know, and they don't have a problem with it. And China, you know, there's a book called China's, Psychic Discoveries, China's Super Psychics is the name, Paul Dong. In the 80s that was written, and it was about children in China that were being... showing that they could change the nature of DNA in a Petri dish, that they could move objects through literally move things and teleport things. They were showing all these kinds of abilities, and they're being studied in Beijing in China, and they have academies for them and whatever. So they're very aware of what these do. But of course, a lot of that isn't discussed in mainstream or whatever. But that was that particular book, and it, you know, for me, was an indicator that Chinese do know about it, but they see it all as psychic abilities, not the background, or maybe they do, of how we are being assisted to upgrade, if you like, from these other intelligences that are family, you know, ultimately our ancestors, you know.
I've had a couple of friends that are highly psychic, very gifted, And they both traveled over to Japan, which is, you know, a different culture than China, obviously. But what they told me was that they have a very high esteem for you if you're psychic. And to the point where they're treated like celebrities over there. It's a very different ball of wax than over here.
It's an interesting one, because I had a gentleman in Japan that actually translated Awakening for me, and it's going to be published by the top publisher in Japan next year.
Right on.
So what does that say? That you know, they're prepared to publish Awakening.
They're hungry for this information.
Yeah, and I think it was the emperor, one of the princesses, that said she's had ET experiences. And there's also one of the former, I don't know whether it's the former prime minister's wife, has talked about being taken as well. So there's a huge interest in this over there. But interestingly, another lady who's Japanese, who had experiences post-war Japan, who now lives in California, she's Juliana Oka, is a celebrated violinist and artist, has written a book about other worlds and her experiences in Japan, and why her abilities came through her experience with otherworldly beings, and that they have now pushed her mission, which is to talk about her experiences. And so she's been, you know, but she's Japanese and says, you know, she's worried about how the Japanese people will accept her story. It's not in Japanese yet. But she says that that's been a struggle for her, to wonder if the Japanese people will accept her story. And she's hoping that my book might actually set the scene for her story. But her story is, I mean, many worlds. I've forgotten. I talk about her as well, because she heard the 11-year-old playing the music, and her music, she was taught via having these experiences in other worlds, and became this wonderful, celebrated violinist. She channels the artwork. She's not an artist, but she channels beautiful artwork as well. Yeah. And because she wasn't traditionally, although she's had UFO experiences, she wasn't traditionally in the UFO box. I actually wrote her story, and she's starting to get invited to speak now in different UFO groups, because she's had a near-death experience where she really shouldn't have survived, and she was helped to survive by these beings. But she, you know, her story is the broader picture of how many people are having experiences, and it's not an abduction. It's not that. It's knowing that you're not from here, knowing that you're different, knowing that you've got something to do, and you are being guided by these intelligences to do your stuff down here, whether it's in healing or it's bringing the frequencies through music or artwork or whatever it is. And just that knowing, and that's what people really need to start listening to within themselves.
God, that's beautiful. Well, is there anything else that you would like to cover before we tie things up?
Well, we've covered a fair bit of ground, haven't we, really?
I tried.
You've done good. Oh, look, it's been a pleasure anyway to
you too.
Broaden out, you know, my primary research and you know, more and more I've owned the fact that, you know, I've been very fortunate that through listening to that inner voice, that other part of myself, has been a wonderful support to honoring this information. Because, you know, people tell me information that is so extraordinary in terms of 3D, where they've gone to parallel universes, different timelines, the multiverse, being a creator being, where you've got someone saying to you, I'm an ET and I'm seeing myself as an ET, and we're moving something big from one dimension to another. And I'm seeing in my mind's eye, it's a planet. And the next thing they're saying, it's a planet. And we're actually having to put it into
its right. Isn't that cool?
So that's the experience. And so, you know, I can't tell people don't listen to that if I don't listen to it myself. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
But the fact is that it's so incredible on one level, but on another level, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what's impossible. We don't even know what's possible. Mm-hmm. So how can we possibly judge someone else's experience just because it's not ours? That's my point. And if I could say anything, it's the discrimination against personal reality that is the biggest harm that we create on this planet for other people. Because as soon as you say, I know what reality is and you don't, because yours is too weird for me, or it's too confronting, or it's too challenging, what we're doing is shutting down. We're not allowing ourselves to experience really more of what reality is. And so I'm saying is, if something challenges you that you hear, and you're saying, well, I'm struggling with that, look at why you struggle. Look at what that's telling you, because it may be showing you something you don't know. So instead of judging, listen, because you may be learning something you don't know about.
And that's you may need to go back inside your own closet and see what you need to work on and clean out yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really what The New Human's about. It's about challenging people to go beyond their comfort zone and say, just because this isn't your experience doesn't make it not true. It just means it's not part of your experience yet.
Beautiful. And this is where we're going, folks. Now, in order to get your book, do they order it off of your website or do they go to Amazon or...
So The New Human, when it's it should be out in the next few weeks, if all goes well. It's been formatted at the moment. It will be available on Amazon, and it will also be available through my website. So you're going to have to look, too, at what's the cheapest for you, because sometimes it's cheaper to get it from Amazon than me post it from Australia. So I don't want people to pay more for the book than they need to. But if they want it signed, then obviously they can get it from my website. But that will be hopefully available in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm looking forward to having it finally, because enough people are saying, where is it? So it's like...
Can you send me your book?
Yeah, sure.
Good. I'd love to read it. And listen, folks, please support her. My God, this is such a crusade for her that we... God bless the work that you're doing. And God bless you for just staying to it for, what, something like 40 years you've been in this compiling research and data and information and... It's so important to support the children for our future. We're all in this together, but the kids are our first and foremost. You know, this is what blowing open all the pedophile rings is about, and supporting new healthcare systems and educational systems that aren't going to dumb them down, so they can help us create new energy systems and new educational systems and bioecological solutions and so on and so forth. They're already bringing this to Mary. And, you know, how cool is that? We should be supporting this. So please feel free to contact her. Again, her website is Mary Rodwell, and it's rodwell.com.au, which is, of course, representing Australia. And Mary, it's been a delight to talk to you. I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
Alexandra, I also want to honor you for all that you're doing, because without individuals like you enabling this, then I don't have a voice either. So all the effort and time, I can't even imagine what that's meant for you in terms of your dedication to that. So thank you. Thank you so much for all you're doing.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. Don't jump off just yet. Just want to give everybody my big hug and kiss and lots of love. Thank you all for just sticking in there with me. And guess what? We're getting to the end of this game. And I mean, things are really getting exciting. So just hang in there. And again, this is a time to go within. It's a time to really let go of attachments. It's a really major time to purge. Let go. Just let go as much as I'm getting goosebumps. As much as you possibly can to anything that you're rigidly hanging on to. And it'll be such a cool ride if you do that. So hang in there. And as always, please support Galactic Connection. We do provide the free newsletter 365 days a year. It does cost money, folks. I am really bad about asking for money, but please consider a donation. And also look at all of our services that we provide on Galactic Connection with our entire healing team. And we will talk to you next week. Hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Talk to you soon.